Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Good evening. That's very weak. Good evening. So much better. I really feel good that I can actually say good evening. I kept telling them in the 2 o'clock service, good evening, and I think they thought it was the afternoon. But and my calendar said it was good evening. I'm not quite sure where my calendar is right now, but it's good evening. But really, always such a privilege to be here and just to be with you for worship. You know, one of the things that I've learned in all of my travels over the years, you can be in any part of the world, and when you gather with like-minded people of God, you just feel at home. Some places I go, I don't understand a word that they say, but there's still, you feel it. There's a connection. And fortunately, I understood everything that was said tonight. But I feel that same kind of connection, and I'm just so honored and so privileged to be with you. What I want to share with you tonight for a little while is something that I think that all of us deal with probably many, many times over in our lifetime. Is there anybody here that's actually not ever been through a difficult time? Because I really would like to talk to you for a while after the meeting tonight. So everybody here, you've been through some difficult situations. And some of us have had major struggles in our life. And the thing that I love about Jesus is that he is committed to us. He is there, regardless of what you experience, regardless of what you go through, he's there. You can trust him. Listening to the songs tonight that we were singing, that theme was reoccurring over and over again. His faithfulness, that we can trust him, that he's with us, and that he's, his hand is on our lives. There's so much comfort in that. I don't know what people do that don't know God's love and God's grace. I don't know how they make it. But thank God, his grace is so abundant for each one of us and for whosoever will. So it isn't just for us. It's for everyone that will allow him to touch and move in their lives. One of the ministries that I've been involved with now for 15 years, in fact, this coming week is our 15th anniversary, is a ministry called Hope Force International. Hope Force is a disaster relief organization. And I remember when I'm on the founding board, and I remember when we were discussing starting this ministry, and people would say things to us like, well, what are you gonna do? I mean, just sit around and wait for a disaster? I mean, what are you going to do? There's, you know, we hear of disasters here and there, but what are you going to do all the time in between? Well, in the last 15 years, disasters have increased all over the world. In fact, in the last 15 years, over 3 billion people have been significantly affected by natural disasters, earthquakes, storms, hurricanes, we can just go on. 3 billion people have been affected. Now, I've also come to realize that there are a lot of other kind of storms that are on the increase. Even though I mentioned disasters and earthquakes and tornadoes and typhoons and so forth, there's another kind of storm that we find touches our life over and over and over again. These are storms that are very personal to us. Things that we experience that turn our life upside down. Maybe in your situation, it's the loss of a job. and suddenly there isn't the money to pay the bills that need to be paid. Maybe in your situation, there's a diagnosis from a doctor who said there's nothing more that I can do. There's nothing I can do for you. That creates a storm in our lives. I'll never forget the night when I was in Europe and a phone call came in the middle of the night that our oldest adopted son had been murdered. I'll never forget the storm that began to brew that night and all that came out of that. I could tell you stories of sitting with people that I love very dearly, whose lives were coming apart. Situations in my own family, lives coming apart and storms and not knowing what to do or how to face those things at times. We all go through those kind of situations. The thing that's so good in that is Jesus is committed to walk it through with us. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, there's a story that I want to tell you rather than read it to you. You can take time to read it later. You're probably, many of you are probably very familiar with it already. The story takes place in Matthew 14, right after one of the most significant miracles in the New Testament. You know, it's interesting to me that often the storms come after God has really done. In fact, this story in Matthew 14 of the storm comes between two very powerful miracles. It was the feeding of the 5,000, multiplying the loaves and fishes, and there was then the feeding of the 4,000 plus women and children. And right in between those two incredible stories of the miraculous, there's a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus sends his disciples away. He dismisses the crowd. He goes up to the side of the mountain to sit down to pray. And while he's sitting there praying, a storm blows up on the Sea of Galilee. Now, I remember hearing, you know, stories about storms on the Sea of Galilee, and I thought, it's a lake. I mean, what kind of storm could you have on the Sea of Galilee that would be all that significant? Several years ago, I was there during a storm. And believe me, that lake became really choppy and really scary. You could picture what it would have been like for the disciples to be out there in the middle of the night when it was dark and the wind was blowing and the waves slapping against their little rowboat, because that's really what it was. It was really just a little rowboat, and they were out there trying to get across, trying to make it to the other side. Now, remember, they had just witnessed this incredible miracle, but they also were involved in, you know, working and crowd control and all of that in taking care of Jesus during that time. So they were already most likely exhausted before they ever got in that little boat. But now they have tried all night long to get to the other side. And the wind is blowing and the storm is raging and there's no way that they can get to the other side. And they're alone and they're full of anxiety and they're afraid. Alone, anxious, and afraid. I find that usually in the middle of a difficult season in my life, those same three things are there. I'm alone. I feel like, you know, I'm isolated from everything around me. I'm isolated. Even times I feel like, where's God? And I feel really alone. I'm often very anxious. You know, they tried to get across the sea, but they couldn't make it. The harder they tried, it seemed like the wind, you know, would hold them back. And they were filled with stress. And they were afraid. The Bible says that in the middle of the storm, Jesus comes walking to them. I love that part. In the middle of the storm, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. The problem was they didn't know that it was Jesus. And you're in the middle of a storm, and you're already scared to death, and suddenly you see a man walking on the water. I mean, it's like we're hallucinating. we have totally, completely lost it. And it caused them to be even more afraid. And Jesus calls out to them and said, it's me. You don't need to worry about it, guys. And Peter, I love Peter. Peter is my favorite New Testament character next to Jesus. I mean, if you're spiritual, Jesus has to be your favorite New Testament character. But next to Jesus, for me, it's Peter. And the reason I like Peter so well is he's so human. I mean, Peter did some really dumb things. And I do some really dumb things. And so I can relate to Peter. I've often told people when I get to heaven, I want to meet the Apostle Paul. But I want to be pretty secure first. Because there's something about Paul. Paul just seems so good. I mean, there's something about him that, you know, he's the kind of guy that you think could look right through you. And he's this authority figure. And he's a little bit scary to me at times. But Peter's not like that. Peter is, I relate to Peter because he's just about as impulsive as I can be. And he's does just about as many dumb things as I do. Peter, when Jesus says, you know, guys, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter immediately responds, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. How dumb can you be? Why would anybody say that? Bid me to come to you on the water. I would have never said that. I would have said, Jesus, if that's really you, come on over here. And if I would have had enough faith to say, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water. I mean, if faith would have kind of suddenly rose within me and I would have said, okay, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water. The minute Jesus said, it's me, I would have said, okay, I get it. I believe. Now come on over here. But Peter just, you know, he's impulsive. But the minute Jesus said, it's me, off he goes. He gets off the boat and he starts walking. And suddenly he realizes, I'm not supposed to do this. I mean, my mother taught me that you don't walk on water. And I'm walking on water and I can't do this. And the minute he began to doubt, down he went. And I love the way that Jesus just reaches down and picks him up and says, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And then they get in the little boat. And when they get in the little boat, the storm stops. You know, I'm not sure exactly why that took place, but I have a pretty good understanding that it was because the storm had fulfilled its purpose. You see, I don't think Jesus wastes storms on our lives. I don't think Jesus creates them just, you know, to do something in us. I think storms happen. Life events take place. And you know, I don't know where we ever got the idea that if you're a believer that nothing would ever go wrong, because that's just not true. But the thing that we have in the middle of the difficulty, there's Jesus. And when the storm fulfilled its purpose, see, God was doing something in the lives of the disciples. There was something happening in their lives through the storm. And everything that we go through in life, Jesus is there doing something in you. He's doing something in me. It's not being wasted. And the minute that is accomplished, the storm stops. And that's exactly what took place. They got on the little boat and the storm stopped. Earlier, in fact, it was in one of the songs that we sang it. I haven't thought about this for a long time until this afternoon. Roy and I were talking a little bit and he reminded me of eagles and how all of the other birds, when a storm is brewing, they go for shelter. They go hide. They get away. But not the eagle. The eagle actually gets excited about the storm. And the eagle flies into the storm. And when the eagle flies into the storm, I'm sure it's a rough ride for a while. But as the eagle flies into the storm, as it spreads its wings, it catches the wind. And the wind literally takes the eagle above the storm. All the other birds are hiding somewhere. They've gotten out of the way of the storm, but the eagle begins to soar above the storm. And I believe that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives. Jesus comes to us walking on the water in the middle of the storm, and he calls us to be like the eagle instead of running away from the storm. I've spent my life running away from trouble. I mean, I don't like trouble. And I don't know that God expects me to like trouble. I'm not quite sure when it says that the eagle gets excited about the storm. I'm not sure that I understand that part, because I don't find storms exciting. I remember one time in Taipei, I was in the middle of a typhoon. And when it began, I mean, I thought, what's a typhoon? I mean, it can't be all that bad. Oh, I mean, when it began to rain, I've never seen so much rain in my life. And it fell so fast that you wouldn't dare go outside in that rain. I don't like those kind of things. But like the eagle, as we're willing to just go into the storm, because God is with us. And in the middle of the storm, God accomplishes his purposes, and the wind begins to lift our wings, and we fly above the storm. That's what I believe God wants to do in our lives. Fly above the storm, because Jesus is in the middle of the storm. And if you're in the middle of a difficult situation tonight, Jesus comes to you walking on the water, and comes to you to bring peace in the middle of the situation. But in the process, there's a lot of things that he does in our lives. There's a lot of breaking down. There's a lot of healing. There's a lot of things happen. There are three things I've learned about what happens in the middle of a storm. The first one is this, that storms are a time of revelation. Storms teach us about ourselves. Storms are a time of revelation. Most of us are pretty good at looking good. You know, we work at it. And we all have our masks. In fact, most of us have one for different occasions. Some of you, I noticed that some of you picked yours up as you came in tonight, because we have a church mask. And we come in looking like everything is just wonderful and everything is okay. And so we wear that mask, and then when we leave it at the door and go back to whatever. We have masks that we wear at home. We have masks for our spouses. We have masks that we wear to the workplace. We're pretty good at wearing masks, because masks hide a lot of things in our lives. But see, in the storm, something happens. And it's really hard to hold on to. Can you imagine holding on to a mask while the wind is blowing intensely? After a while, you just let go. Storms are times of revelation. God begins to show us something about ourselves. What is our faith built on? How strong is our faith? How teachable are we? See, these are things that we learn in the middle of a storm. Storms are also times of restoration. Restoration. Storms bring us closer to God. See, it's in the middle of the difficult situation that I realize how much I depend on him. How much I need him. My mother often told me this story as a little boy. When I was born, my dad was still in the military, and he would only come home, you know, every few weeks. He would be home for the weekend, and I wasn't quite sure who this man was, but I knew by Sunday evening he needed to leave. And it was okay for him to come Friday and stay till Sunday, but then he needed to leave and leave me with my mom. Well, there came a point, of course, when he came home to stay. By that time, I had become very independent, and there had been really no real opportunity to bond with my dad. Now, I knew who he was, of course, but I was pretty bonded to my mother, but there was not much bonding with my dad. And I let him know that I really didn't need him. I had learned in the early years of my life to survive, and I was a survivor. I could do it. I didn't need him. And of course, that broke his heart. And my mom told me the story of when I don't remember exactly how old, but we went up to the mountains near Los Angeles where I live, and it had been snowing. And the snowpack was deep, but it was very light because it had just fallen. And of course, this little independent kid jumps out of the car. He wants to get into the snow, even though my dad has just said, "Dan, be careful. You're going to jump out. You don't know how deep that is." Well, I didn't need him to tell me that. I just jumped down in the snow. I went, and then down I went, and I'm trying to claw my way out, and I'm determined that I'm not going to ask for help. I just try to claw my way out. You know, I think sometimes life is like that. We're trying to claw our way out, and we're just so determined that we don't need God's help. And finally, there came the moment when I realized I couldn't claw my way out. And I began to cry, and I called out, "Daddy, help me." And my dad, of course, was there immediately. And my mom said she could look, and you could see the tears running down his face. His son finally needed him. And the minute I was willing to say, "I need you, Daddy," he was there. He was there. And you know, "Daddy, I need you." See, storms are times of restoration. They begin to teach me something about myself, but also begin to teach me something about how I can trust God. You know, I love to be around new believers. There's something about their enthusiasm. There's something about just the way they, you know, they're exciting. But when I'm in trouble, I want someone who's been through it. I want someone that has learned they can depend on God. Someone that knows how to point me beyond my clawing and trying to make it. Someone who can point me to God and say, "There, that's how I did it. That's how I made it." So I want someone who has been through it and knows that there's restoration that comes in our relationship with God in the middle of the storm. A young man that really is like a son to me. He's from Ghana. And when he grew up, his father left the family. And I don't know that he ever married the woman down the road, but they lived together and had kids together. And he would take his new family almost every day. They would pass the home of my friend, his father, but he would never stop in to see him. And they would walk past, and this friend of mine would be standing in the front yard, and Dad and his new kids would just go on. Tremendous sense of abandonment. Tremendous sense of being totally left and abandoned by his father. I remember sitting with him one night, he moved to the States later, and as a young man, him and I became pretty close and still are. And I became like a father to him. And I remember sitting one night in a restaurant, and he was crying and going through some stuff. And just out of nowhere, he began to cry out. And he cried out in a loud voice. I mean, other people heard. And he cried out and he said, "Daddy, I need you." And you can be sure that touched my heart at a deep level. And you can be sure that I was there to say, "What do you need? Here I am. What do you need?" And see, that's exactly what Father God does. Here I am. What do you need? See, it's in the middle of the storm that our faith in God is restored, that we begin to see what God can do. It's also in the middle of the storm that growth takes place. See, storms are times of growth. Our roots grow deeper and storms strengthen our roots. I would like to think that I do a lot of spiritual growing in wonderful, fun settings. But I've been around long enough to know that I don't tend to grow a lot in fun, wonderful settings. It's usually in the difficult time that something takes place and growth begins to happen. Along the California coast, Northern California, there are these cypress trees that have been bent over by the wind. The strong winds that keep blowing have bent the trees over, and they're just about like this. You can see pictures of them in a lot of places. And they've monitored the roots, the root system of those trees, and discovered that when the wind is blowing, the harder the wind blows, the deeper the roots begin to go. And the roots will go around the rocks and anchor themselves. See, it's in the middle of the storm that the roots are strengthened. It's in the middle of the storm that growth takes place. I've grown far more in the difficult situations of my life than I have through the fun, wonderful situations. And yet I can honestly say I still like the fun, wonderful parts of my life more than I do the difficult seasons. See, storms accomplish something. When the disciples got in the boat, the storm stopped. The purpose of the storm had been complete. Two things you remember when facing life storms, and three things that you do. Here are two things that will help you walk through life storms successfully. You remember these things. First, God's unrelenting love. When you're in the middle of a difficult place, remember God's love for you. Romans chapter 8, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Did you get that? I mean, we say that, but are we really getting it? Nothing, absolutely nothing will separate you, will separate me from God's love. I don't know if we really realize how much God loves us. I think we throw that term around a lot, and we know that God is love, but I don't know if we really get how committed his love is, how much he loves us. The scripture says nothing, 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 nothing that you do, nothing that somebody else does to you, nothing that you go through, nothing that happens will ever separate you from God's love. So in the middle of the difficult situation, know the unrelenting love of God, that he loves you. I have a tendency, I still do this. The minute things begin to go wrong in my life, I don't know where I ever got this, but I do this, I still do it. God, I thought you loved me. Anybody else ever do that? His love is absolute. His love is unconditional. He's committed to us. In the storm, you see his unrelenting love. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. In fact, in that very same passage, it lists a lot of stormy stuff. And it says that in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. His love is unrelenting. Nothing will separate us from his love. We are more than conquerors in the difficult situations. The other thing to remember is God's total commitment. God's total commitment to us. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he that began a good work in you will complete that work unto the day of Jesus Christ. How many times did Jesus say, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you? See, it's in the middle of the difficult place that I rely on his unrelenting love and his total and complete commitment. He is committed to me, and he absolutely, totally loves me. You've got to hold on to that in the middle of the storm. His unrelenting love and his total commitment. Here are three things that you do in the middle of a storm. First, you walk the storm through the storm with humility. You walk through the storm with humility. James 4, verse 6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, our tendency is to, we can do this. Our tendency is, you know, we're strong. And we can do it. But there comes a point when I can't be that strong. And that's the point I need to realize that he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. When I refuse to say, God, I need your help, there's not grace to deal with what you're dealing with. But the minute I begin to cry out and say, God, I need you. I need you. I can't make it without you. There's a pastor in New York City, Brooklyn, New York, Brooklyn Tabernacle. He wrote a book several years ago, Jim Cimbala is his name. And several years ago, he wrote a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And I read the book. I don't remember a lot about the book. I remember the title of the book. But there's a story he tells in there that I've never been able to forget. And I won't take time to tell you the whole story. But it takes place as he's processing whether he's going to stay in this inner city ghetto kind of church where there's no money, or whether he's going to go on to a pastorate that would be very fruitful and very financially productive. And in the struggle, he says this: I've discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. I've discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. And then he goes on and says, he's not only attracted to weakness, but he can't resist those who honestly and humbly admit how desperately they need him. He can't resist those who honestly and humbly admit how desperately they need him. I've always wanted to be irresistible. And now that I realized I'm irresistible to God, he can't resist me if I'm honest and humble enough to admit, Father, I can't make it without you. I need you. I need you to help me through this situation. I need you to help me through the storm. And what Jim says in his book is he can't resist me. I love it. I love it. There's something in God's heart for the broken. There's something in God's heart for those who are struggling. Walk the storm with a sense of humility. I need Jesus to help me through this. Another one is you face the storm with a sense of destiny. That I've got a mission. God has a plan for my life. God's going to take care of me. I am not at the mercy of the storm. I am not at the mercy of what's happening in this situation. I'm in God's hands. My life is in his hands. In the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, there's a story of the Apostle Paul in a hurricane. And the hurricane has gone on for a long time. Days have passed. And their little ship is just being ripped to shreds. And they're actually throwing stuff overboard to lighten the ship, hoping that that will help them make it through more successfully. And in the middle of that, in the middle of all of the fear of the hurricane, the angel of the Lord comes and says, Paul, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You've got an assignment. You're going to stand before Caesar. And that's God's assignment for you. You're not going to die on this boat. This boat isn't going down. You're going to stand before Caesar. And you tell those on the boat, if they stay on this boat, with you on this boat, they're going to be okay because I have an assignment for you. I have a destiny for you. You're going to stand before Caesar. And there's something, you know, that in us that needs to say, it's not over for me until God says it's over. that God has a dream and a plan for my life, and that I can embrace that plan, and that, you know what I've watched over the years? God take the difficult thing, God take the thing that could destroy my life and turn it around and use it for the very thing that builds my life. See, nothing is wasted. God takes whatever we go through and uses it for something good. So don't panic in the middle of the storm. Don't jump off the ship in the middle of the storm. Don't start throwing stuff away in the middle of the storm. God has a dream and plan for your life. You move through the storm with a sense of God's hand on you, with a sense of destiny, and then you move through the storm with the support of others. You move through the storm with the support of others. God has constructed life in such a way that I can't make it without him, and that I can't make it without you. I can't make it on my own. I need people around me. I need those that I can lean on. I need those that I can trust. I need people who can speak into my life. I need people who can speak in, even at times, to correct something. They see something going on in me that's going to cause a problem, and they care enough to be able to speak to it. I need people like that around me. I've discovered over the years, left to myself, I can mess things up a lot. I need Jesus, but I also need friends. One of the things I often say to young leaders is that whatever you do, build friendships. Build friendships. You desperately need friends. I find a lot of leaders don't have friends. I mean real, deep friendships. I don't mean just surface business friendships, but deep stuff. People that you can be vulnerable with. People that you can open up your life to. People that you can share the struggles. People that you'll allow to speak into your life, to speak into the situation. We need those kind of people around us. If we don't have them, we are setting ourselves up. As I've watched leaders over the years, when I find leaders that are isolated, and when I find leaders that don't have relationships, I don't mean you have to have 1,000 of them. But there are those people that you need around you that are close friends that know you and can speak into your life. If you don't have them, over the years I've watched leaders, they're the ones that they just begin to come unglued at some point, and nobody can do much to help them because they've not opened up. They've not been vulnerable. They've not allowed people to really see into their lives. And so I tell these young leaders, build friendships. Build friendships, and I mean deep friendships. They are so crucial and so important. And it's in the middle of the difficult time that you begin to realize how much you need those friendships. And those are the people that you can lean on. We all need people to lean on. We all need people to stand with us. We need those people around us. I think that's part of what church is all about. It's not just showing up on Sunday night and listening to a speaker. It's about doing life together. It's about sharing life together. It's about being there for one another. And in the world that we live in, and it seems to be increasing, in the world that we live in, if we don't have those that we can do life with, those that will build and encourage us, those that will speak into our lives, if we don't have them, we're setting ourselves up. We need people to lean on. Here's a song that you've heard. It's not a Christian song. It's not one of the worship songs tonight. But I think it has a very, a really prophetic message. And I want you to listen. You'll know the song immediately when they start to play it. But I think it fits here really well. Leaning on Jesus, but also leaning on one another.
Lean on me.
Heard this one before?
When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
You just call on me, brother.
When you need a hand, we all need somebody to lean on.
I just
might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on.
Now, that was a recording that I did a long time ago. And one of the things that we talk about in Hope Force is the ministry of presence. And what we mean by that, it, of course, is tailored to disaster relief, but what that really means is I'm there. I don't have to have all the expertise. I just need to be there. And many of us just need somebody. We don't need somebody with all the answers. We just need somebody. Jesus has the answers, but we need physical people that can just be there. And I really want to challenge you, be there for one another and make yourself vulnerable enough that you can open up, that they can be there for you. We need those kind of relationships. So in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the difficult situation, remember God's unrelenting love. Remember his commitment to you. You face the storm with humility. You face the storm with a sense of destiny. God's hand is on me. God has a dream for my life, and he's going to take care of me. You face the storm with people around you that can support you and be there for you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm aware tonight that there are those sitting here that are in the middle of storms. Their experiences, things that are happening in their lives that are incredibly painful, that are ripping their lives apart. Maybe they've got their mask on tonight and they're looking really good, but they're covering a heart full of pain. They're covering all the stuff that is eating their life up, and they need to allow you to come to them in the middle of the storm. Lord, I just believe you're here tonight in the middle of the storm in their life to bring freedom, to bring your presence, to bring your touch. And Lord, I ask tonight that if there are those that need to open up to allowing you to walk in the middle of their situation, that need to say, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water, and I'm willing to take the steps. People who are willing to open up to others that can stand with them. And Lord, I ask that you will take this time that we've had together and that you will give us the grace we need to do what we need to do to walk through the storms and difficulties of our life successfully and to help others walk through the storms of their life successfully. Lord, will you just speak to our hearts in these closing moments in Jesus' name?